Hey everyone, welcome to another deep dive. You know, looking at all the stuff you sent over, it seems like you're really interested in how we connect with each other. Like, how do we get each other, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, how do our brains turn words into these shared meanings?
Right, like, what's the secret sauce, you know?
Totally. And how do those meanings, like, actually bring people together and create communities?
It's fascinating, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to try to unpack all of that today. The main topic being these things called semantic networks.
Yeah. Semantic networks. Have you heard about those?
I have. I've done a little reading just to prep for our chat today, but I'm no expert, so I'm hoping you could really break it down for me.
Absolutely. Happy to. I think you'll find it really interesting, especially since you sent over some notes from something called a wordy notebook.
Oh, yeah. That's something I stumbled across while doing some research, and it looks like it might be like documentation or something for some kind of software that analyzes language.
It does seem that way. It's pretty cool, actually. Yeah. So maybe we can even use that to, like, help us understand these semantic networks better.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, so let's start with the basics. What exactly are semantic networks?
Well, imagine a map, but instead of, like, streets and buildings, the map is made up of words.
Words, like actual words.
Yeah, exactly. Each word is like a point on the map, or what we call a node in the network.
Gotcha. So, like, if I'm thinking about the word cat, that's one node.
Yep, exactly. And then the connections between the nodes.
Okay.
Those are like the roads on our map, and they show the relationships between the words.
So, like, how often they appear together or something.
Exactly. So if you see cat and meow a lot together, they'll have a strong connection on the map.
Okay, that makes sense. So basically, it's like a visual representation of how words relate to each other.
Exactly. And the more those words appear together in, like, texts and conversations, the stronger that connection becomes, not just in your mind, but in the, like, collective understanding of language.
Oh, interesting. So it's not just about my personal understanding of words, but, like, how they're used in society as a whole.
Right. And this is where things get really cool for you, especially with your interest in community building.
Okay, house.
These connections, these pathways between words, they're not just static lines. They're like routes for what we call social objects.
Social objects. Okay, now you're losing me. What are those?
Think of a topic like climate change.
Okay.
That's a social object. It's something that people talk about and debate and share their opinions on.
Right.
When people talk about climate change, the words they use and how they connect those words reveal a lot about how they think about the issue.
Okay, so it's not just about the topic itself, but, like, the language people use to discuss it.
Exactly. And that's where Wordish comes in.
Oh, yeah, that software we were talking about.
Right. It can actually map those connections and give us insights into different perspectives on a social object and how those perspectives are shared within a group or even across different groups.
Whoa, okay. So if I'm trying to, like, connect with people who care about climate change, this Wordish thing could help me understand how they talk about it, and then I could, like, tailor my message to resonate with them better?
Exactly. You could see what words and phrases are most important to them and even how those connections evolve over time.
That's amazing. It's like having a secret decoder ring for human communication.
It's pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah.
And it can be really useful for building online communities or even, like, crafting effective marketing campaigns.
Okay, my mind is officially blown, but let's back up a second and talk more about Wordy itself. You mentioned that the notes talk about, like, 7 different modules.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty comprehensive program.
So which ones, like, stand out to you? Which ones do you think would be most useful for someone like me who's interested in, like, understanding how meaning is created and shared and how it brings people together?
Well, the foundation of it all seems to be this word link module, which, like, counts the words and the pairs and builds those maps we were talking about.
Right, the maps of how words connect to each other.
Exactly. Mm. Then there's QAPNet, which is used to compare entire networks. Like, imagine being able to see how different groups of people talk about the same topic or even find individuals who think alike based on their language patterns.
Okay, that would be super insightful, especially if you're trying to find your tribe, so to speak.
Exactly. And then there's this one called Visi.
Visage. What does that do?
It creates visuals of the networks.
Like actual pictures?
Yeah, you're a visual learner, right?
I love seeing things laid out visually.
I thought so. This one lets you actually see the connections between words and how they cluster together. It can even create animations to show how networks change over time.
That sounds amazing. Okay, so WordLink, QAPNet, Visi, got it. What else?
There's one more that really caught my eye. It's called Opticom. And this one seems to be where things get really interesting.
Opticom. Okay, I don't think I saw that one in the notes. What does it do?
It's all about crafting messages to influence how people think about things, essentially steering those social objects in certain directions.
Wait, so it's like a tool for persuasion?
In a way, yeah. Imagine being able to analyze how people talk about a certain product and then tailor your marketing message to perfectly match their understanding.
That's both fascinating and a little scary. It's like having a secret weapon for communication.
It's definitely powerful stuff, and there are definitely ethical considerations to think about.
Yeah, for sure. I'm really curious to learn more about that.
Me too. But before we go down that rabbit hole,
okay,
maybe we should talk about how Wordy is actually being used in the real world.
Yeah, good point. The notes mention a bunch of applications. What are some of the ones that stood out to you?
Well, considering your interest in like making sense of large amounts of information, I think you'd appreciate how quickly Wordy can analyze tons of text and highlight the key themes and clusters.
Okay, that sounds right up my alley. Like, it could help me cut through all the noise and figure out what's actually important.
Exactly. No more feeling overwhelmed by information overload.
Sign me up. But it's not just about summarizing information, right?
No, it's about understanding how those themes are connected, seeing the bigger picture and the different perspectives within a conversation.
So it's like creating a mental map of the conversation, showing how different ideas relate to each other.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay, I'm loving this.
And speaking of maps, the notes also mention something called semantic equivalence, which is basically about finding people who use language in similar ways.
Oh, interesting. So like identifying people who might think alike.
Exactly. And that's where that QAPNet module comes in. It lets you compare entire networks and find those clusters of like-minded individuals.
Okay, now that's really cool. So if I'm trying to build a community around a shared interest, like let's say sustainable living, I could use Wordy to find other people who talk about sustainability in a similar way.
You could analyze online discussions, articles, blog posts, anything, and find the people whose language patterns are most similar to yours.
Wow, that would be a game changer for connecting with the right people.
Absolutely. And it could even help you find potential influencers who are already shaping the conversation.
This is amazing. I have so many more questions, but I also want to be mindful of your time. So maybe we should take a break and come back to this in another deep dive.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
I'm happy to keep exploring this with you.
Awesome. I'm already looking forward to it. So to everyone listening, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into semantic networks. And we'll be back soon to continue the conversation.
See you.
Okay, so before we went on break, we were talking about using Wordiganage to find people who think alike.
Yeah, like using semantic equivalence to identify folks who use language in a similar way.
Right, and you're saying how that could be really helpful for building communities around shared interests.
Exactly. Like, imagine you're passionate about sustainable living, you know, trying to make a difference.
Yeah.
You could use Wordiganage to analyze all sorts of stuff, online discussions, articles, blog posts.
Yeah.
Anything related to sustainability.
And it would show me like who's talking about it in a way that resonates with me.
Exactly. It'd be like finding your tribe, you know, people who speak the same language about the things you care about.
That's so cool. And you were also saying it could help you find influencers, people who are already like leading the conversation.
Yep. You can see who's really driving the discussion, who's using the language in a way that's influencing others.
Okay, so much potential there. But before we get too carried away, I have a question about Wordy itself.
Sure, what's up?
Are there other tools out there that do similar things?
Oh yeah, definitely Wordy isn't the only game in town.
So what are some of the other options?
Well, there's one called GeFi that's known for its really cool visualizations.
Oh, I love visuals.
Me too. GeFi lets you create these amazing interactive maps of the networks. It's pretty awesome.
Okay, what else?
There's also NodeXL, which is really good at identifying clusters and computing all sorts of network metrics.
So like if I wanted to get really deep into the data and the numbers, NodeXL would be a good choice.
Exactly. It's like the super analytical tool.
Gotcha. So basically different tools for different purposes.
Exactly. It depends on what you're trying to achieve, what kind of analysis you need.
And what about different languages? I mean, we've been talking about English, but what if I wanted to analyze text in like Spanish or Chinese?
Well, Wordy does have some functionality for Chinese text processing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And there are other tools specifically designed for other languages as well.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all situation?
Not really. You got to pick the right tool for the job.
Okay, that makes sense. Speaking of tools, I want to circle back to that Opticom module for a sec.
The persuasion one.
Yeah, exactly. The one that can help you craft messages to influence people's thinking.
Right.
I mean, it's super fascinating, but also a little ethically questionable, don't you think?
It definitely raises some concerns, for sure.
Like, where do we draw the line between using data-driven insights to communicate effectively and straight-up manipulating people?
It's a tricky balance, you know?
It is, and I'm not sure there are easy answers, but I think transparency is key, right?
Absolutely. If you're using Wordage or any tool like it to shape your message, you got to be upfront about it.
No secret mind control tricks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Be honest and authentic. Let your audience know you're using data to communicate better.
But even if we're being transparent, isn't there still a risk of using these tools to, like, play on people's emotions or exploit their biases?
There's always that risk with any form of communication, you know?
True.
Words have power, whether we're using fancy algorithms or not.
That's true.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not so much about the tools themselves, but how we choose to use them.
Exactly. It's about being responsible and ethical and remembering that ultimately we're trying to connect with other human beings.
Not just manipulate them for our own gain. Okay, I'm feeling a little better about it now, but I still think we need to be really careful with this kind of technology.
Agreed. It's powerful stuff and we need to use it wisely.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the features and functionality of Wordy, but the Wordy notebook also mentions some technical concepts that I'm not super familiar with.
Oh yeah, like what?
Well, there's a section on entropy, for example.
Entropy, right.
What is that and why is it relevant to all this?
So entropy is basically a way of measuring how much variability or randomness there is in a set of data.
Okay.
Like if you're analyzing a bunch of online comments about a controversial topic, high entropy would mean there's a lot of different opinions being expressed.
Lots of diversity.
Exactly. While low entropy would suggest that the conversation is more controlled or homogeneous, you know, like everyone's saying pretty much the same thing.
So it's like a measure of how much buzz there is around a topic and how diverse the perspectives are.
That's a great way to think about it.
I like it. So basically, entropy can give us insights into the dynamics of a conversation.
Exactly. And that can be really valuable for understanding online communities, identifying potential influencers, and even crafting messages that are more likely to resonate with specific audiences.
Okay, this is all making a lot more sense now.
Good, I'm glad.
But there's one area we haven't touched on yet that I'm particularly interested in, politics.
Ah, yes, the political arena.
Given your expertise in semantic networks and your interest in how shared meaning shapes communities, I'm wondering how all this plays out in the world of politics.
It's a fascinating area for sure, and one that's becoming increasingly relevant as more and more political discourse happens online.
Right, like everything's on Twitter and Facebook these days.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Imagine being able to analyze speeches, debates, social media posts, the whole landscape of political communication.
And see how different ideas and ideologies are connected.
Precisely. You can see which messages are resonating with voters, which ones are falling flat.
Maybe even predict how public opinion might shift in response to certain events or arguments.
You could. And on a more strategic level, you could use Wordy in order to identify the key themes and talking points that are driving the conversation.
And then tailor your message to target specific audiences.
Exactly, like crafting your language to appeal to their existing beliefs and values.
Okay, but isn't that getting into some ethically murky territory? I mean, it sounds a bit like manipulating people's opinions.
It's a valid concern for sure. But I think it's important to remember that political communication is inherently persuasive.
True.
Every speech, every campaign ad, every tweet is designed to influence how people think and feel.
I guess so.
The difference with Wordage is that it gives us a more nuanced and data-driven understanding of how language works.
So we can be more precise and intentional with our communication.
Correctly.
But there's still potential for misuse, right?
Absolutely.
What's to stop someone from using these tools to spread misinformation or propaganda?
That's why it's so important to have open and honest conversations about these technologies, to understand their capabilities and limitations.
And to establish ethical guidelines for their use.
Exactly. And as individuals, we all have a responsibility to be critical consumers of information.
To question what we read and hear.
And to be wary of anyone who claims to have the ultimate formula for persuasion.
Well said. I think this has been an incredibly insightful deep dive into the world of semantic networks and the power of language.
It has been fascinating, hasn't it?
Yeah. We've explored how these networks work, how tools like Wordy can help us analyze them, and the potential implications for everything from community building to political discourse.
And everything in between.
Exactly. And for our listener, I want to leave you with a final thought-provoking question.
Ooh, I like it.
We've talked about mapping the semantic networks of entire communities, but what about our own individual minds? If you could map the semantic networks of your own mind, what would they look like? What connections would you find surprising? What would those connections reveal about your unique way of understanding the world? It's something to ponder as you continue to explore this fascinating world of language and meaning. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and until next time, keep those connections strong.
See you later. Entropy, it's a measure of like how spread out or random a set of data is.
Okay, so in terms of language analysis, what does that actually tell us?
Well, it can tell us how diverse a conversation is. Like, are there lots of different opinions and viewpoints, or is everyone kind of saying the same thing?
So if I'm analyzing a bunch of online comments about something controversial,
High entropy would mean like a really lively debate with lots of different perspectives.
Exactly. And low entropy would suggest maybe it's a more controlled conversation. You know, everyone's towing the party line, so to speak.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's another way to kind of gauge the health of a conversation.
Exactly. And it can help us identify those really influential voices, the ones who are shaping the discussion.
This is all so fascinating.
It is, right.
You know, it's making me think about how all of this applies to something we haven't really talked about yet, politics.
Ah, yes, the political arena.
Given your expertise with semantic networks and all this stuff about shared meaning.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how it all plays out in the world of politics.
It's a really interesting area, especially these days, with so much political discourse happening online.
Right. Everything's on Twitter and Facebook now.
Exactly. Yeah. Imagine being able to analyze all those speeches, debates,
yeah,
social media posts, the whole landscape of political communication.
You could see which messages are actually resonating with voters, which ones are falling flat.
You could even maybe predict how public opinion might shift in response to certain events or arguments.
And on a more strategic level, you could use Wordy to figure out the key themes and talking points that are driving the conversation.
Absolutely.
And then use that information to craft your own messages, you know, tailor your language to target specific audiences.
Exactly, like appealing to their existing beliefs and values.
Okay, but hold on a second. Isn't that getting into some pretty ethically questionable territory?
Well,
I mean, it sounds a bit like manipulating people's opinions, doesn't it?
It's a valid concern, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to remember that all political communication is inherently persuasive to some degree.
I guess so.
Every speech, every campaign ad, every tweet is designed to influence how people think and feel.
That's true.
The difference with Wordy is that it just gives us a more nuanced understanding of how that persuasion works.
So we can be more intentional with our communication.
Exactly right.
But there's still the potential for misuse, right? What's to stop someone from using these tools to spread misinformation or propaganda?
That's why it's crucial to have these conversations, you know, to talk about the ethical implications, to establish guidelines for responsible use.
And as individuals, we need to be critical thinkers, right? Question what we read and hear online.
Absolutely. Don't just blindly accept everything you see on social media.
Well said. I think this has been an incredibly insightful deep dive into the world of semantic networks and the power of language.
It has been fascinating, hasn't it?
We've explored how these networks work, how tools like Wordy can help us analyze them, and the potential implications for everything from community building to political discourse.
And everything in between.
Exactly. And for our listener, I want to leave you with this thought. We've talked about mapping the semantic networks of entire communities, but what about your own individual mind? If you could map the semantic networks of your own thoughts and beliefs, what would they look like? What connections would you find surprising? What would those connections reveal about your unique way of understanding the world? It's something to ponder as you continue to explore this fascinating world of language and meaning. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and until next time, keep those connections strong.
See you later.